and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
The power of God's love in your life and how it relates maybe to his death, but also his resurrection. Because how many of us know when the disciples leant into the tomb, it was empty. It was not filled with something or someone, it was empty, which means Jesus Christ is alive. He is seated on his throne in heaven, on the throne of your heart. And if you will listen to the words I say tonight, how many know this? That Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Tonight I'm going to give you some truth and I'm praying and believing it's going to set you free tonight. Because I know that I want to be more and more free in Jesus. Amen. So I want to take us on this journey tonight. Man, I love Easter. Are you like me? I kind of, you know, because I know I'm going to eat like obscene amounts of chocolate, I do like a pre-Easter diet so that I lose a couple of kilos, right? Totally scriptural. And then by the time I eat my way through Easter, I'm just back to where I was before. So, you don't agree with that. I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere. But I love Easter. I love the idea of it. But, yeah, preacher, brother, where's the whoop whoop? Yeah, no, okay. But you know what? I was thinking recently, and this is not in my message, I'm just kind of letting this out there. You know that this is such an amazing truth. Do you know that you are saved? Okay, that was underwhelming. You are saved. Do you realize that? You were a sinner, and you could never pay a debt that was against God. And Jesus comes and says, I'll give you a free gift. Would you like it? You don't have to work for it. That's exactly right, Mr. Shai. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. And here's the cool news. You get to go to heaven. You are going to heaven. I've been saved for like 100 years. And this truth is so powerful. Church, never get used to the idea that you are saved. You're saved from sin. You're saved from hell. You're saved from death. You're saved from sickness. You're saved from being cut off from the love of God. And there is nothing that you did to earn it. My God! Isn't that awesome? Okay, I'm just getting a little excited tonight. Right? And I just, you know, I've been waking up lately going, I've been given a free gift and it didn't cost me anything. And I want to talk kind of around that, this idea that, well, what keeps me from that love of God sometimes? There are certain things that are maybe roadblocks that stop us from feeling the fullness of that love, even after we've made a decision for Christ or a decision in our heart. But you need to know this, that the indwelling fullness of the love of God never ends. There is always more for you. I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 50 years. There is always more of the dimension of God's love for you. Yeah, well, Tone, I made a decision in 1973 and I was good with that. And you know what? I've got my life insurance policy. I said yes to Jesus. Actually, it's a fire insurance policy. Okay, only a few of you got that one. But I'm all good to go. And I kind of sense God's peace and love, but that's enough for me. And he says, no, that's just the doorway. There is a realm of God's love that every single, I don't care if you're a pastor on the front row, if you're a visitor up the back, there is more of an ever deepening dimension of God's love that you can experience and it will transform your life. There is always more. There is always more. And God wants us to walk in this because at the end of the day, it's all about intimacy with the Father. We need to understand that the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was all about bringing you back to the Father. That's the whole essence. So that you tonight can walk in unbroken, consistent intimacy with the Father. That's the goal. That's the whole reason why the cross came. Because you can never do it in your own strength. You can never do it in your own effort. You can never do it in your own striving. And he says, I want to bring all of that back so that you have intimacy with me. Now, if you got your Bibles there, I want you to jump to Ephesians 3. New King James, we're going to kick it off from verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14, I think we're up on the screen. We're going to have it up on the screen in a moment. Ephesians 3, 14, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. So he's praying a prayer for me. He's praying a prayer for you. He says, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the man, that, so this is what he wants you to experience, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. He wants you to be able to grasp this, church. What is the width, the length, the depth, the height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about the magnitude of this prayer. He's saying, I'm praying that you will understand a love that will dwell constantly, 24 hours, 7 days a week, that will be an ever progressive deepening reality of the love of God, so that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. It's like, is it that even possible? He says, you can be filled with all the fullness of God. And he's praying that prayer tonight. But here's the rub. Here's the tension. There are certain things that we do that stop the access of the fullness of that reality in our life. And what God wants you to do is be equipped and be prepared so that you can stop the blockage, you can stop the inhibition, you can stop the barrier that stops you from that being a constant reality when you get up on a Monday and when you get up on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, so that you're continually walking in the fullness of the love of God. Now, let me just do a quick word breakdown so we can grab maybe the gravity of this reality. Now, that word know in that section there, that you would know the love of Christ, it's the word gnosko. It means to come to know, to progressively come to perceive an ever-progressing reality of the knowledge of that truth. So it's an ongoing reality for you. So you can actually know the love of God. Now, interestingly, it says that you can know through the knowledge of God. Well, I thought if I know, isn't that knowledge? But the word knowledge there actually means general knowledge. It means I can, with my own reasoning and understanding, kind of work out the love of God. And it says you can know a love of God which passes natural reasoning, okay, natural understanding, that far exceeds that in a whole different dimension. So we can begin to pray the prayer in our life. Oh, I can actually know God on a greater and greater dimension of his love that passes all cognitive understanding. Yes, you can. Now, if I take this one step further, it says that you would be filled with the fullness, all the fullness of God. That word filled to the full means absolutely to the brim. It means you can't contain any more of the love of God than what you've got in your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel the fullness of God, of God's love. Am I right? Wake up Monday morning, I'm like, I've had too much pizza, man. I do not feel full of the love of God. I feel like full of something else, right? Now, I don't always feel the fullness of that love. But the fullness of that love is the very thing that transcends our natural understanding. You know, there was a story many years ago, the late Steve Jobs. And he was testing the very, very first iPhone. And he was with his R&D team. And he said, I need you to cram this phone with as much technology, as much RAM, as much processing power as possible. I don't want an inch of space left in this phone. And after a couple of months of research and development, they came back to Steve Jobs and they said, yep, look, I think we've done it. There is no more room left in this phone. It's absolutely cram-packed. And he said, really? Are you sure? They said, absolutely sure. Picks up the phone, walks over and drops the phone into a jug of water and bubbles came out. And he said, the phone's not full yet. Go back and rebuild it for me. Start all over again. That's not full. This is the fullness of God, where you can't contain any more of the fullness of God in your life. How many want that tonight? A fullness of God's love. So why don't I always feel that? Why don't I always have a sense of that in my life? Is it God or is it me? What is it that blocks that reality constantly in my life? And what's the outworking of that in my life? Well, there are a couple of things we've got to be aware of, a couple of things that God wants us to understand when it comes to this, because if you don't realize that you can live in complete, unbroken intimacy and fellowship with the Father, what will happen is when something goes wrong in your life, when I sin and I do something wrong, you will very quickly think, I need to work my way back towards the love of God. And you'll go, you know what? If I can maybe just do some works, he'll accept them. If I can maybe give a bit more, he'll accept that. maybe if I read the Bible a bit more, I'll be accepted in his love. So you and I take these things and we go, well, if I pray more and give more and do more, now they're all important in the outworking of discipleship in our life. But God says, you can't give that to me as a gift and I trade that for my love. He says there's nothing that you can do to earn this simple, uncomplicated, life-changing love. He said, those things will never get you there. So it's okay, well, that's not going to work. So what do I need to do? We've got to stop realizing that we can't earn the foundation of this love because he calls you the beloved. So where did this idea come from? When I do something wrong, I pull back. And then I try and maybe eke my way back in the presence of God. Remember the scripture from James just says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, why did I draw back in the first place? What caused me to take a couple of steps back? If he's longing for powerful intimacy with you every moment of every day. What went wrong? Well, we need to go back to Adam, right? No need to turn there, but think about this idea. Adam's walking in perfect unity with God. Separation between the love and the presence and the power of God. He is in complete unity with the Father. And they walk in the cool of the day and they're hanging out and Adam knows God and God knows Adam. And one day he does something foolish with his wife Eve and they sin. They eat a piece of fruit and immediately he becomes what I would call sin conscious. Okay, now hold that thought, sin conscious. The natural reaction when you live a life of sin consciousness is that you will default and do what Adam did. And what did he do? Hides. He runs. When we live a life, we're more aware of what we've done wrong than what we're doing right in Christ, we will default to the hiding and the drawing away. Is this making sense so far? Okay, so that's going to happen. Now, what then happens is he hides and cloaks himself in shame. God looks from Adam, walking through the garden in the cool of the day, I can just see God whistling, birds chirping, rainbows happening. And he's like, I'm sure I was supposed to meet Adam here behind this big, gorgeous fruit tree. I'm sure. It was like five. No, I said five. I sent him the meeting invite at the outlook. And it's like, no, he's not here. And he starts looking for him. Now we know that God knows where Adam is, right? He's like, I know where he is. So he calls out. This is the moment. This is the test. He's like, Adam, where are you, man? I'm coming to hang, cool of the evening. And it's like, he's hiding behind this dirty old bush, right? And he's like, oh, I'm over here. And he's like, what are you doing back there? He said, oh, I really got some really, really bad news. And God, you know, he kind of acts shocked. And he's like, well, what's going on? He said, well, we took of the fruit, we did something wrong. And now I'm experiencing broken intimacy with you. He said, what do you mean? He said, I hid because I've done something wrong. Okay. Now let me illustrate this. Can I have my beautiful daughter, Ella? She's going to come up here. Give her a hand as she comes up here. Now watch this. What I call the Adam instinct can still be alive in your life. Okay. So be aware the Adam instinct can still take hold of your life. So I'm God. I can do that. I'm the preacher. I make up the rules here. So Ella makes a decision for Christ and she loves God. And so we're walking together in unbroken. She's feeling the love of God, the sense of God. Then she does something wrong, right? Now, I want to love her continuously in unbroken relationship, right? So this is what happens. She feels bad and then bang, pulls away. And I'm going, where are you? Why have you stopped walking in intimacy with me? And she says, because I've done something which has caused shame. And in that moment, I'm saying, no, you don't need to do that because I have love and intimacy for you to walk with me, okay? Now, if she lives an Adam sin-conscious kind of life, she'll find it very hard to come boldly into my presence, stand before me and walk in intimacy and love. Can you see that? Because she's got like the old way of thinking, a sin consciousness, right? Now come back here, lovely Ella. Can I get maybe Ryan? Can I pick on Ryan? Ryan, you get to be Jesus. Come on, man. You get to be Jesus. Yep. Come on. No better example, right, than Ryan. Boy, we love Ryan. Now, I'm just trying to illustrate this, okay? So now you stand between us. No, Ella, you go over there. That's right. And boy, you come stand in the middle here. You hold her hand. Right. Now, this is what Jesus did for you. You can hold my hand. What? You're getting weird looks, man. We love you, brother. Okay, here we go. All right, so watch this. Now, let's walk. We start to walk in fellowship with that indwelling love of God, which has no bound if we walk in its fullness, right? Now, Ella does something wrong. Right, let's stop. She does something wrong. If she realizes who Jesus is to her, all she needs to do is turn, Ella. I see her through Jesus. Okay? Now, Jesus took all of her sin, all of her ugliness, all of her offense, every single sin that she's ever done resided in Jesus. Then Jesus completely wipes it away. So if she knows that, she can look at me and go, Papa, I made a mistake. Forgive me. Can we keep walking? And instantly, there's no Adam hiding in shame. There's confidence and boldness, and we just keep walking. We just keep walking. We just keep walking. Now watch this. Turn around. We're going to go back this way. So when she gets the full revelation of that, guess what we don't have to do anymore? Let's just walk. Papa, I made a mistake. Yep, do you forgive me? It's already done. It's already complete. It's already forgiven. Let's just keep walking. There's no stopping. There's no holding back. There's no going back 10 paces. There's only intimacy with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ella. Beautiful. Mwah. Go sit down. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what he did. Really? So when I have unworthiness, or I feel like I've let God down, I didn't pray enough, or I'm feeling a bit distant, he's saying, no, just turn to Jesus. I see him and go, no, that's finished. Let's just keep walking. He's far more concerned with the love that he wants to pour into your heart than you trying to get some kind of acceptance through good works and doing something that'll please the Father. So we see now that we move from sin consciousness to what I would call righteousness conscience. What does that mean? Really simple way to understand it is this. Because of the power of that relationship with Jesus, okay? What that means is God has made you completely right through Jesus. Now, the Bible uses this term, you are the righteousness of God. What that means is this. You can stand and walk with the Father for the rest of your life, and all he sees is white as snow. All he sees is sinlessness. All he sees is every time the Papa, the Father, looks at Ella, he doesn't see sin. What? He doesn't see sin. Now, I'm not preaching heresy. I'm not saying you don't confess your sins. But the moment you do, you move from sin conscious, oh God, I've let you down, I'm sorry, I've gone to kind of walk in my hands and knees towards you. He says, no, because you know your identity in Jesus, because of what Jesus did, you can just go, Papa, I'm sorry, I missed it, move. And we just walk forward. That's called identity. Okay? Now, identity brings great security. It brings security. How do I know, Tony, if I'm walking in the love of God and in that identity, you'll always walk in security with the Father. You'll never feel inhibited. You'll never feel ashamed. You'll never feel like I've kind of, you know, holding back. That's how you know you're walking in the fullness of God's love. Because there's no cloak of shame when I get up. There's no, man, I did that thing 5 years ago. Did you really forgive me, Jesus? And so he wants you to walk in the fullness of this love. Now, I'm getting excited about this tonight. See, he wants you to move from sin consciousness to constant righteousness, confidence in him. Now, let me give you three. These are the big ones. These, for me, will take you out when it comes to intimacy and relationship with God. They're big. Now, they make it a bit heavy, but just buckle up and just tell the person beside you, I'm ready. Go and tell them I'm ready. Come on. Other person, tell them I'm ready. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. I want to show you the fullness of God's love to you in the next about 10 minutes. Here we go. Now, let me define the big three. Okay, if you're taking notes, you might want to jot this down. This has been such a revelation to my heart, such a revelation to me and my relationship with the Father. So these are the things that will take you out. The first one is guilt, okay? Guilt. Let me define it for you. Guilt is a subconscious belief that you're not forgiven. Do you get it? Guilt is a deep-rooted belief in my thinking or my mind. I'm not actually forgiven. Now, we may not say it, but it sits in the recess of maybe the very corner of our heart. And it's like, God, could you really forgive me for that thing? Really? Oh, well, yeah, I know the Bible says you forgave me, but maybe I kind of feel like your arms are folded and you're like, yeah, but I'm still really disappointed with you. Parents, have you ever said that to your children? It's the most wonderful manipulation you can ever get, isn't it? It's like, I'm so disappointed in you. God doesn't do that to you, church. But the power of guilt says that even at a subconscious level, I'm not really forgiven. But did you know that the Bible says that Jesus is actually what we call the propitiation for your sin. And that's just a fancy word. It just means he was the substitute for your guilt. What that means is when he died on that cross, he took the fullness of your guilt and he brought it upon himself so you don't have to be guilty anymore. I want to tell somebody in this place tonight, your days of feeling guilty are over tonight in Jesus' name. They are. The enemy has come to you for so long and said, no, you need to hold on to a little bit of guilt. You need to sort of self-punish yourself because God doesn't really accept you for who you are. And he's saying, my child, my beloved, I want to pour my love into you. I'm not drawing away. It's the guilt that you're holding on to in your heart. If you will let that go, you will feel the fullness of the love of God pouring into our heart tonight. Amen. So the first idea is the power of guilt that holds on to our life. You know, I was in grade 12. And I was part of the school production. I did my last couple of years just down here at Pine Rivers High. And I'll never forget one Sunday afternoon, we were doing rehearsals. We were in like the main auditorium of the school, school theatre. And I was the lead and the young lady I was working with, she was sort of the, you know, there's a little bit of a romance thing happening in this. It was called The Vampire Show. You're very godly. And anyway, we're working. So we're there Sunday just practicing. It was just rehearsals. There's 10 or 15 people in the crowd and they're taking notes and we're working through the scene. And anyway, we were joking around and we were mucking around. And then all of a sudden, and she said something really silly. And I'm like, come on, you need to wake up to yourself. And guys know this. You know, you do the whole come up, the boxing thing and you kind of pretend to shuffle. Anyway, I've done that and God, you got to wake up, dear. And her name was Madonna. I said, come on, Madonna. And I pretended to do that. She walked straight into my punch. And I punched her straight in the nose and broke her nose in front of her back. There was blood pouring out of her. And it was like, so I become known as the woman basher in high school. To make it worse, I was the vice captain. Okay, so I was like... And so, like, I never felt so terrible. And all, you know, the next couple of weeks, yep, black rings around her eyes, this crooked nose. And every time I saw her, the guilt was overwhelming, you know. And all she had to do was she would walk past me, not no forgiveness. She would just go, like that. And I'm like, I'm going to see a therapist, right? Did you know that Satan does that to you sometimes? He gets you to look at yourself and say, who do you think you are? There are two people that will accuse you. And it's normally not the people in your life. It's either the enemy or it's yourself. And I point the finger and say, you're the guilty one. And God says, no, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love bridges the gap between your insecurity, your guilt, and my love. And it's not an it's a person, and it's Jesus Christ. And he's the gap filler when it comes to your guilt. The second one, oh, this is just such a powerful idea. The second big one, which will take you out, is condemnation. Let me share the power of condemnation. Here's my definition. It's a subconscious belief that you are worthy to be judged. It's a subconscious belief that you are worthy to be judged. Therefore, it leads to condemnation. I should be judged for the wrong that I've actually done. You know that habit, God, that I've been trying to break? It's like, surely you want to dish out some kind of punishment or maybe a sickness or you want me to go broke. And God says, no, all of that punishment, there was a judgment. And he says, I took it. And he says, all of the condemnation that I squared directly at you, he said, I take all of the wrath and the anger that, and he had, trust me, church, he had it against us. He says, I take it all. And I'm going to stick it right into Jesus. And he says, I'm going to take all my anger that was against you and I'm going to pour it into him so that you don't have to have condemnation anymore in your life. You can live completely free before the Father. I thought that's pretty amazing, isn't it? You think about the story in the Bible with the woman who was caught in adultery, a very famous story. And it says the Pharisees and the rulers of the day caught her. Now, if you do a Bible study, the crazy thing is, it says they caught her early in the morning. The inference was that they actually set up the whole trick. They set up the whole deal to catch her on purpose. They catch this woman. They drag her before Jesus. And they say, this woman's going to be caught. She was caught in adultery. What are you going to do about it? What judgment, brackets condemnation, are you going to dish on this woman? Because we're going to watch to see what you're going to do. And as you know, he sat down and he wrote upon the ground. And there's a lot of different theories about what that was. But my point is this, that he says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he says a beautiful line. He says, woman, where are your accusers? Who is it that condemns you? Guess what that word condemn means in the Greek? Worthy to be judged. He said, they've just realized they are no longer worthy to judge you. And guess what? He says to her, neither am I. Did you know that you can live condemnation free for the rest of your life out of this place tonight? You can walk out of here not condemned, because it's the self-condemnation. I didn't do enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't give enough. I didn't. And so we self-condemn, and it becomes a weight, church, that you can't carry anymore. And you get further and further away from the love of God, and you blink and you think, God, where are you? He says, I haven't done anything. He said, I want you to catch up with me and receive this uninhibited love of God. He wants somebody in this place tonight to no longer condemn yourself. Because all that condemnation sat on Jesus Christ on that cross. What an amazing love he has for us tonight. There is no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You can live free of judgment and condemnation in your life. And the last big one, as the musos come tonight, if they're not already backstage and about to come out, the last one is shame. This is such a powerful idea. Shame will break the fullness of the love of God that can dwell in your life. The shame is this. It's the believing that you still are what you were ashamed of. I'll say it again. Shame is the belief that you still are what you were ashamed of. The thing that you did, you still identify that I am still that kind of person. And like Adam, it cloaks you in shame. And it completely cuts off, not completely cuts off, but it inhibits the love of God of flowing in your life. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God poured all of the guilt. He poured all of your condemnation. He poured all of your shame on Jesus Christ so that you don't have to carry it from today anymore. Not a moment, not an ounce, not a dime, not a speck. You can be free tonight of guilt, shame, and condemnation because he took it. And you know what the powerful thing is, church? It says he died on the cross and all those things were nailed to the cross. Every bit of it for you. But then something miraculous happened 3 days later. It says that he rose from the dead and then he walked out of the tomb. Now that tomb and those things I've just been talking about, I kind of liken them to skeletons in your life. Have you ever moved house and you found a couple of old things in the closet? See, like we've just moved house and we've just found a couple of really nasty surprises in our closet, a couple of really old, smelly, dirty, rotting things in our cupboard. And I was talking to somebody very, very recently, and they've got an 18-year-old, and he finished school last year. And she was in his room cleaning up his clothes. And so he finished in October last year, and she was got his dirty clothes, and under the dirty clothes was his school bag from October last year. Yeah. And she said there was a smell emanating from this bag. And she proceeded to have a look inside the bag, and there was his liquefied lunch from October 2018. How many of us know there's some stuff that can sit in the closet of our life? The tomb of your life, the tomb represents your past. Did you know the past can be like yesterday? The past can be this afternoon. And in the tomb of your past, there are skeletons that sit there like condemnation, guilt, and shame. But do you know when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it says he left the tomb and the tomb was empty. Did you know tonight he wants your tomb to be empty and he wants a resurrection to be on the inside of your life? He doesn't want guilt. He wants confidence. He doesn't want shame. He wants boldness. He doesn't want condemnation. He wants a love that flows from him. Church, your tomb can be free tonight. His tomb was free. Your tomb can be free in Jesus' name. Your past doesn't have to have the skeletons that you've had in there. Come on, give him a shout tonight. Your tomb can be empty tonight because his tomb was empty. Your tomb can be empty tonight. And he wants you to realize that in Ephesians 4, he said there is an indwelling love and it is the fullness of God and we can walk in it. If we will deal with those three areas of our life and we'll realize that Jesus was the middleman, it was all poured into him so that you can live free, You can live whole. You can live bold. You can live without having to carry the weight of these three skeletons. They kind of get on your back and they claw at you and they affect your emotions and your mindset. And people have these, you know, mental conditions because of these three big things. You ask any psychologist, they'll tell you guilt, shame, and condemnation are one of some of the three biggest things that destroy a man's soul. And Jesus Christ has come, and you can literally walk out that door tonight free in Jesus' name. And here's the message: whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not a little bit free, not sort of kind of free, not religious free, but a freedom that causes you to walk out of the tomb of your life and never be the same again. I'm not trying to hype you up, church, but if you'll get a hold of this revelation, you will be free and you will never get held back again. In Jesus' name. Why don't we pray, church? Why don't you close your eyes? As we just come to this decision point, when, you know, my prayer tonight was that you would just, you'd have a revelation of a love that casts out fear, if we'll let it. A love that will break the power of guilt, shame, condemnation, trying to work His love and earn His love and be a good Christian. And He says, you don't have to do any of that. He said, my indwelling love doesn't cost you a thing if you'll just walk in it. And yeah, there's confession of sin and there's keeping our life right with God. But we spend so much time trying to keep up with God by being a better person. And He says, that means nothing to me. I've done all that. I've paid for all that in my Son. And I want you to be free tonight. And while we're just in a moment of prayer and everybody's eyes are closed, you know, I've been sending a message out tonight and maybe there's somebody here and you're like, you know what, Tony, I've been carrying a lot of stuff in my life. I've never met this Jesus that you've been talking about, and I want to know Him because I'm carrying some baggage. I've got a tomb and it's full of skeletons, it's full of stuff, and I've never made a decision to walk with Jesus. I've come along tonight, I've been coming for a while, but I've never made a line in the sand moment where I've said, you know what, I want to exchange my past for His future. I want to exchange my sin and the mess of my life for a new day. And I want to let you know, church, you can experience that tonight, right here, right now. You can have a resurrection moment in your heart. You really can. And I want to ask the question tonight. This is an opportunity moment. Is there anybody here and you've never made a decision to say, you know what, this Jesus that you keep talking about, I want Him in my life. I want a fresh start. I want to give Him all of my life so He can give me His life in return. And He will do that tonight for you. And while everybody's eyes closed, I want to give you the opportunity. And what I want to do in a moment is ask you to do something very simple. And it's just, while we're praying, I want you to just lift up your hand. And lifting up your hand is a way of you saying, yeah, I'm really serious. I want to make a line in the sand moment tonight. And I want to follow Jesus. I want Him to be the center of my life because my effort hasn't worked out, Tony. My struggling hasn't made me a better person. Or maybe there's a second person and you just feel really disconnected from God. I mean, not just distant, but totally away from God. And you're saying, man, I didn't realize, Tony, how far I was away. But I want to run back into His arms tonight. I want to run back into the love of the Father tonight. I'd love to lead you in a prayer and pray for you so that you can rediscover the power of God's breadth and length and depth and height to know His love, which passes all normal understanding. You can experience that tonight. So if that's you, what I'd love you to do is be brave for me. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I do want to lead you in a prayer that'll change your life forever. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand right now and then you can put it straight back down again. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to acknowledge your decision tonight. We've got a hand over here. Anybody else tonight? You said, I need to make that step for the first time or I'm coming back. I see that hand. Yes, sir. You can put that hand down over here. There are people responding. Anybody else tonight? Just lift up your hand. Don't walk out of here knowing this Jesus and how much He did for you. Anybody else tonight? Just lift up your hand or put it back down. Don't walk out with the intimacy that Jesus is reaching out and offering you tonight. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, why don't we stand in this moment. We've had some people respond tonight. What I want us to do, especially for those couple of guys that lifted your hand, what I want you to do is we're going to pray a prayer and the whole church will repeat it after me, but I want you to pray this prayer with all of your heart, mean it from your heart. And when you confess this with your mouth, Jesus says, I'll be right there. I'll come right back into that intimacy with you. You don't have to earn it. You've just got to ask for it and I'll come running to you and your life will change forever. Church, why don't we pray this prayer out loud, and those two people, pray this with us as well, amen. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you tonight and I bring you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my shortcomings. I give you all of my life. And I ask you to forgive me tonight for doing my own thing, in my own way, in my own time. Cleanse me, wash me, and forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive a new heart. I receive a new life tonight. And I promise I'll walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church. Why don't you give the Lord a mighty hand? People have responded to that tonight. Wow. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we would love to meet you after church. If you prayed that prayer and you're one of those people that raised your hand, we'd love to encourage you, give you a bit of literature and just really make sure you're on your way again. And our leaders will come and grab you after the service and they'd love to pray with you. But we're almost out of time, church. But really what I want to do is, I just want to pray a prayer release over your life. I want to pray a prayer where you make a decision tonight. This is a line in the sand. No more guilt. No more shame, no more condemnation. I just want to be able to receive the love of God. And here's what I find. When you walk in the fullness of that love, you want to sin less. You want to strive less. You want to do it less in your own effort. And a power comes upon the inside of you, which empowers you to walk out of righteous consciousness, my right relationship, not sin and shame and striving consciousness. But what I want you to do, a little bit of homework, is after tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, You've got to fight to keep that ground. The enemy will come back in and say, no, you need to earn and you need to go to church twice and you need to pray more. And like, you will do all those things out of your righteousness, not out of condemnation and sin. And that's the power of living the Christ-centered life. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.